Father, this morning we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. There is no one like you, Father. Father, I pray in this conference that you will become more real to each and every person. That it shall not be just religion or tradition, but I pray, Father, make us hungry for more of you. Not any form of religion, but Father, let it be your kingdom that will be manifested. I pray that the floodgates of heaven shall be open over this place, and our hearts will be ready to receive what you want to do. Father, we thank you for who you are, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what mess we have made, your grace abounds. Father, I thank you this morning that you're drawing your children back to your feet. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, that you start working in our hearts. That every wall that is against and around our hearts, that with every sermon, with every worship, with every tear, that those walls be broken down piece by piece. That your Holy Spirit can be Lord of our hearts again. Not what people think, but what you think. I pray, make us holy and make us hungry for more of you. Give God a praise this morning. I don't know why people are so silent. It is, maybe, are they not silent? It sounds a bit silent to me. Let's give Jesus Christ a praise this morning. That is better. All the praise belongs to Him. Give Him the praise. Praise Him for the victory that is still about to come in this conference. The problem is we as Christians, sometimes we want to praise Him after He does something for us. And sometimes we need to praise Him for that thing to happen in our life. And that is the reason why I can say only some people were praising, because I heard some people clap hands. The moment you can hear one person, you know not everyone's heart's in it. This morning in this conference, I want your heart to be in this. It is not just a normal conference. It's the revelation is always growing. God always wants to reveal more of Himself to His children. But how many of you are still hungry for fresh revelation? Because sometimes, what happens sometimes is, as we know, we have the best prophet in the world with us. And I hope you mean that celebration. Because even if you have the best prophet that we have in this house, and he always gives revelation, it is so quick to get familiar with that revelation that when you get a chunk of revelation, it just sounds normal to you. There's people in the world that will be flying here just to be in one service, yet we can get familiar so quickly. I want you in this conference to be hungry. Think of what you've heard that the God's generals have done. Imagine that God steps into this place and He turns not just your life around, because sometimes we are selfish. It is about me, myself, and I. That's not what God does. That when He changes you, that everyone is in your vicinity, everyone is connected to you, that their lives will be changed because of your life and what God has done in your life. You're welcome to have your seats. That was for free. Maybe someone will do an offering afterwards for that one. But how many of you are ready to go deep into the presence of God? This morning, I just want to honor a prophet and prophetess. It is always an honor for me to be in the house of my mother, my father. There's not a lot of people that understand what it means to have someone that has your back. The thing is, what many people do is they will go to different churches. Even people, they will leave Encounter Church. And they will go to other churches because there the pastor gives them special attention. They get a voice in that church. But do they get a father and a mother? Do they get someone that pays a price for them? And the problem is, those same... Usually it's always ladies. So let's say So you get ladies that will leave a church and then suddenly they'll inbox you. They will start sending you messages. And all they will do is they'll give you nice stuff. And they will show you, but can't you remember when that person spoke to you like that? And then they never tell you, have you remember what price that person paid for you to have what you have? That how many times have you stand on the stage to testify of the goodness of God that's in anointing in this place, and then you open your mouth against that same anointing? That same anointing is anointing. It's not my job to bring judgment. But is that anointing that you spoke against? So I want you this morning not to worry what people say. If someone leaves a church, it is because they were not of us. It is not something like, what happened? Now let's go get the new gossip. No, that's not what God wants you to do. Why do you want to be part of gossip? Because when someone leaves a church, you're like, they were not of us. And you protect the other ones that's around you. That is the heart of the Father, to protect the body of Christ. It is not to have a pity party of someone that leaves the church. Oh, I found this new church. There's so excitement. A true and mature Christian will understand that any church, even our church, it goes through seasons and times. Sometimes you will have the glory. It will manifest. You will not even have to fast. It will just be there. And other times you have to work for it and it's not there. And then there's a season where you go through a desert season where God is shifting and testing us, where God maybe tells Prophet or Pastor Marie or any of the pastors just rebuke someone. They get one rebuke and they take offense and they leave. It shows me that person was not mature in Christ. And don't be fooled by that person and their charisma. Don't be fooled with their charming words. Don't be married with Jezebel, because it will not end well with you as well. Who are you partnering with? Are you partnering with the bride of Christ, or do you listen to Jezebel, who called herself? Many of us, we want the glory to come into this conference. We want God to come and touch us and change our hearts. But we forget one thing. When the disciples and the 120 people were in the upper room, imagine for 120 people to be in one room for 10 days praying nonstop. I think there must be unity. Because when I go and pray in my room and I say, Father, and His presence come into my room, even if there's something small that is not of Him, and that I'm speaking about in 10 or 20 minutes in prayer, what about 10 days of prayer? That God will show something more that is not right. Now imagine 10 days that these disciples and these people, crowd of people, had to pray together. In that moment, I can promise you, I believe there were people, and this is my own extra. In that time, you can't pray for 10 days with someone and not feel condemned if you have something against them or convicted. So for you to be able to get what we want, we all want Pentecost, but how many of us want unity amongst our brethren? You cannot have Pentecost if there is not unity among the brethren. It's impossible. Many of you, you tithe, you offer, but there's nothing in your going on in your account. You're like, this is not working for me. Against which brother or minister are you speaking? Because the Bible says where the brethren dwell together in unity, there is a commanded blessing. That is why I always tell my church, I do not pray for money. I do not pray for money. It has to come automatically. Because if I have unity, it is a commanded blessing from God. And many people want to just get the blessing, but they do not want the unity. It is illegal for you to have the blessing without unity. Are you with me this morning? So don't worry if you see someone leave. Maybe it's just the first nappy they had to change and it spilled into their face. I don't know. Maybe they touched it and thought it was chocolate and now they are just throwing tantrums. Do not be fooled. You get many people that say, but oh, God has called me to have my own ministry. I have this thing, we have one lady in our church, but luckily she's, God helped her a bit. Because always you'll get someone, oh, I had this, so many prophetic words of this women's ministry, evangelistic ministry. I can't wait. In 2 years, I'm going to leave the church and start this ministry. I'm like, show me the scripture. Where does the Bible say you must have your own ministry? And many people will use me as an example. Oh, but since Stefan left Encounter Church, Centurion is blessed. No, you're talking nonsense. I cannot be here without being undercovering. What people do not understand is submission is only power on control. So if someone cannot submit, it means they do not have power. If you cannot submit, it means you do not have power. Because submission is there for those who have power. Are you with me? I didn't leave because I was rebellious. No. I left because God sent me. I was a went one, not a went one. If I didn't take a mic and Facebook photos of everyone that I want to draw to myself. Absalom drew people to himself. And the only way to deal with Absalom is to cut his head off. Are you with me? So I just want to honor prophet and prophet. This, you guys do not know what price they are paying for you. You don't understand. Sometimes I believe they do not want to be here, but they are still here. How many of you have ever gone to a place where you do not feel welcome? You feel like it's hell. Do you know sometimes it feels like that if we come to church? For me it does. I don't know. Not this church, obviously. But sometimes your flesh is weak. But the moment that you are weak is the moment that he is strong. So when your pastor comes here and always smiles, don't think it's all happy dory. No, pray for your pastors, pray for your prophets, pray for your e-group leaders. They are standing in a roar. They're caring for your soul. And caring for someone's soul is not just hugs and love. It's no. I always like people say, no, you mustn't rebuke. Go read your Bible. The first thing Jesus did when he saw his disciples. Before he gave that thing of, these signs will follow those who believe. The first thing he did is rebuke them because of their unbelief. So love is not always hugs. Your flesh wants that, but your spirit is craving for something different. And that is what I thank God in this church. You can ask any of the pastors. I was always on the hot seat. I received all the rebukes and then some extras. But it made me who I am today. We are ambassadors of Christ. If you are an ambassador, you can't be a sissified Christian. If someone just speaks to you once, loud voice, oh, I'm going to leave. No, that is not how it works. But that's not my message. Let me go to my message. I can speak of that subject the whole time. Because rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. You have to repent. You have to repent, not the other way around. You can tithe, you can do what you want to do. If you do not repent, it means nothing. It will be left at the altar. God will not even touch your offering. But that's for another day. But this morning, I want you to forget of everything that ever happened at any other conference. I want you to forget every limitation, every time that you have fasted and you didn't get what you were looking for. Or where you are waiting for many years for a certain breakthrough. Because sometimes you hold so much on that thing that we forget to look to Jesus Christ. Imagine Peter. Peter was so afraid to speak to a few people that he believes and follows Jesus. Not even believe. I must get used to all the lights that flicker. So we have 441 people online with us. Welcome for those who are at home. I pray that the heavens will be open at your house as well. That you will, the atmosphere that is here, that will be in your house. That sicknesses will be healed. Demons will be cast out. Prophetic words will come to you. And his presence will be evidence in your house. Because that is the God I serve. There is no space. There's no time in him. Are you with me? We mustn't put God in a box. Imagine Peter. He was afraid to speak to a few people that he just followed Jesus. But the moment that the Holy Spirit was poured out on his flesh, his first sermon, he won 3,000 people. What is inside of you that will manifest the moment the anointing will touch you this weekend? Or why do you want the anointing? Imagine Peter was a coward, but the moment that the anointing touched him, his life was changed. He became suddenly a bold person that did not care what people say, but he only cared what God say. How many of you are going to be running with the anointing of God after this conference? I hope you are here. What potential is locked up inside of you that the Holy Spirit is going to unlock this week? How many of you want to see heaven really manifest today where we are at? I don't know about you, but I cannot wait for heaven. That is why when I worship and his presence come in, it is the most precious thing for me, because that is the moment that I feel a glimpse of his presence. It is at that moment, it is a drop in the ocean. Imagine if the glory of God must really manifest. Imagine how the problems that you're thinking you're facing now, the things that you want breakthrough through, is nothing. What mountain are you facing? Imagine, the Bible says that when Jesus will put his foot on a mountain, it will melt like wax. And yet you think your mountain is too big for God to move. In this conference, I want you to remove every limitation you have on God. I was thinking this week, why can't we have the Shekinah glory in here that God just steps in here and everyone is just on their face? Why do we want to wait for me to lay hands on you? Yes, God uses man and will never speak against that. But why can we not have a corporate faith like the day of Pentecost, that God will come in like a mighty rushing wind, that signs, wonders, and miracles will just happen suddenly, that it will not just be the one person like at a pool of Bethesda that needs to be in the water or needed to be touched, but everyone that was in the vicinity will be get healed. Are you with me? So I like practicing heaven in my room, feeling His presence. There is nothing like that. That is what fuels us as Christians. But this morning I'm going to go into where is the location of the kingdom and what is the kingdom of God, because many Christians do not know what's the kingdom of God. Many Christians think the goosebumps that you get in your room is the kingdom of God. It is not. It is part of it. It is the atmosphere of heaven that you are feeling. Are you with me? My prayer this morning is that when you walk out of this place, that you will really desire the kingdom of God, because all of you seek the kingdom of God every single day. I hope so. But do you know what you are seeking? Because the moment that you know what you're seeking is the, and you have revelation of that, all the things in the Bible will come to you. What people do not understand is this Bible, there is power into it. The last few months, God has just shown me His grace even more and more. And even this morning, while I was just getting awake, I was putting my alarm off. As I put my alarm off, God gave me extra revelation for this morning. Was this because of myself? No. It is because the grace of God, and that I'm in unity with my spiritual parents. Are you with me? It is because I belong to the body of Christ. I am part of His bride, and that is why He can speak to me. If you are not part of His body, He will not speak to you. And then you will allow someone else to speak to you. Are you with me? So where is the kingdom of God located? I want us to go to Luke 17 verse 20 to 21, New King James. I need to rush. Now when He was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here or see there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Put your hand on your stomach. Say with me, "The kingdom of God is in me." And that is a good confession, but how many of you have the kingdom of God in you? What kingdom is inside of you? What kingdom are you serving? And what kingdom are ruling over you? Because you are the only person in this world that can decide that. We can lay hands until we are blue. We cannot impart this kingdom if you not allow this kingdom to come into you. And sometimes our acts that we do and the decisions that we make allow the wrong kingdoms to live inside of us. It is like the Pharisees, they could not see the kingdom of God because they were looking for the kingdom of God in a physical realm where it's a spiritual thing. Because they knew if they can see it, they can control it, and they're going to try to manipulate it for themselves and their own gain and their own pocket. And I want us to go to John 3 verse 3. And Jesus said unto them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to Him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." The kingdom of God is a spiritual location. It's not a physical thing. It is your spiritual condition. That is what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is within you. It is not somewhere out there that you're going to look. And that is why many people, when they pray, they say, "Oh, but I don't feel the presence of God. It feels like I'm praying against the roof." It is because you do not understand that the kingdom of God is within you. Are you with me? What can stand between God and His Holy Spirit? Do you think there's something? So imagine you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you pray in tongues, how do you think that there's something that can come between you and God? that when you say, it is God speaking to God. There's no wall that can come between you and God. It is a spiritual location. And so many people, they're Christians, they go into the room. And I need you to bear with me this morning, because it's going to sound like blasphemy, but it's not. I'm going to give you scriptures. Luckily, God gave me the final scripture that I needed this morning when I woke up. I was wondering what I'm going to say about this. But many times we as Christians, we go into our inner rooms and we say, Father, fill this place with your presence. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. And we think because of that prayer, the kingdom is going to manifest. No, the kingdom will be presence maybe, but it doesn't mean the kingdom will be manifested inside of you. When you go into your room and you feel that goosebumps, you feel the anointing of God coming on you, that weight, it is only the atmosphere of heaven that is upon you. Are you with me? And as you know me, I love intimacy. If it's not about intimacy, that is where I get my strength from. From seeking God, having an intimate relationship with Him. But there's keys that you and I have to do to be able to go further into the kingdom of God. Are you with me? But how do we receive the kingdom of God if that is not how you receive the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is His, everything that comes with Him. Prosperity, blessings, healing. It is every good thing that is in heaven. Is part of the kingdom of God. Now, what is part of the kingdom of hell and the kingdom of this world? Poverty, strife, envy, anger, rage, divorce. That is part of the kingdom of this world. So what kingdom is in you? So how then do you receive the kingdom of God if it is not just through prayer? Matthew 6 verse 28, I want you to go there. So why do you worry about clothing, considering the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But this is a scripture that we all do not understand. We read the scripture and it's not condescending. I'm not trying to speak condescending. But this is a revelation God has told me. And it wasn't something that I listened from someone else's sermon. I was in prayer and God just said to me, this scripture, and a connected scripture. That is something that you inherit if you're in part of this church. God will just suddenly connect scriptures with you and you're like, oh, goodness. This morning I was like a child. I was like, God, it is crazy. I'm hungry for His revelation. And He says, but first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So what does it say? First seek the kingdom of God, first seek, and then seek His righteousness, and all the money and all the nice stuff that you want, it will come. God doesn't want you to be poor. God wants you to prosper in each and every area of your life. How many of you believe that God wants you to be prosperous? Glad you guys are not to have poverty in you. Many times we as Christians are looking for blessings and think that is the kingdom of God. No, that is just a result of the kingdom of God that's manifested already in your life. Many people think if you just seek Jesus' face, that is when the kingdom of God will manifest in you. No. And you're confused right now. The presence of God can be around you. Doesn't mean the kingdom of God is manifested in you. Many people think the kingdom of God can be in a building. The Bible says, "With two or three gathered in His name, He is in the midst." It doesn't mean the kingdom will manifest on you personally. Many people think when the anointing of God is in the building, it means His kingdom is there and every other kingdom goes. Then how is it possible? How many of you know that the devil is not part of the kingdom of God? Many people think they get deliverance when they go into the room and they just see God and His presence come. No, it is the moment that you start repenting and say, God, I repent of this thing. I remove the legal right of this kingdom and now I allow your kingdom to come in me. Because the presence of God can be in you, but the devil can feel comfortable. The presence of God can be around you, but there can be still be something in you that feels comfortable. If you look at Job, the Bible says that the devil was in the presence of God and the sons of God. because he was allowed to be there. God gave him permission to be there, to be able to hear, and that God can tell him about Job and how good Job was. And many of us, you can be in the presence of God, but you are allowing the devil to be in your life. You're allowing poverty to be in your mind. You're allowed to have offense in your life. You allow those kingdoms of darkness to be inside of you. It is not God. It is you that need to say, God, I repent. I give this devil an eviction notice. Are you with me? For you to seek the kingdom, you need to seek his righteousness in your own life. Remember, the kingdom is within you. So for you to make the kingdom of God to manifest in your life and receive the blessing of God, you have to seek his kingdom and his righteousness on your own life. Many times when you preach and prophet preach or whoever preaches, many people say, but who's this scripture for? Imagine my husband was here this morning. Imagine that person at work or that other Christian could hear just this message. If that is your fault, you must know there's a wrong kingdom inside of you. Whenever God speaks, he speaks to those who hears him. He speaks to his children. His children knows his voice. So why do you want to look for who else? And that is why you get many Christians, they can sit under revelation, but they're still the same person they were 10 years ago. Because they have not made it their own. That when a hard word comes, they, like the Matrix, they miss it. But when a hard word comes, you must hit me, change me, transform me, that I can be more like Jesus in my life. Are you with me? So let's take it further. What is the kingdom of God? Because I think I've confused a lot of you this morning. But now I'm going to bring clarity. What is the kingdom of God? What does the Bible say is the kingdom of God? Luke 10 verse 9. And it says, and he healed the sick there and said to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. So the moment that we pray for someone or you pray for someone and you see that person get healed is the moment that you know the kingdom of God has come near you. It doesn't speak that the kingdom of God has come upon you. It means healing is part of the kingdom of God, but it's not the full picture of the kingdom of God. Are you with me? And healing doesn't just speak about physical healing. It speaks about emotional healing. It speaks about every area of your life. Are you with me? Your finances, every area. That your soul may be prosper. The moment that you get healing is starting, the kingdom is start working in your heart. Because when you're going through difficult times and your heart is hardened, you need the healing power of God to start healing your heart. Because many of us, we want to prosper, but we don't want to work on our heart. You will only prosper. The Bible says you'll prosper as your soul prosper. So you first have to have the healing power of God to come on you. And then when you allow the healing power of God to come on you, and now your heart will feel better, your heart will be more humble, your pride, God will allow your pride to be broken. And at that moment you'll say, but God, I'm sorry. And the moment that you say, I'm sorry, this is not what I want. You are confessing. People don't understand the power of your own words. You're confessing, God, I do not want the kingdom of this world. I now see what is going on in my life and I do not want it anymore. I want your kingdom because what I'm seeing in my life now, I know is not of you. Are you with me? Matthew 12 verse 28. But if I cast out demons, listen to this. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So when healing is taking place, the kingdom of God is near you. But the moment that you receive deliverance is the moment that you receive the kingdom of God. And that is why the devil do not want people to speak about deliverance in churches. Because you understand that if you can keep people afraid of deliverance, if you can keep people in their religion and tradition, that they will not be able to receive the kingdom of God, even if they pray until they blue. Because the kingdom of God comes through deliverance. Many people say, but what is this thing? Coughing and throwing up and confessing. It is the devil that is trying to keep you part of his kingdom. Because he has a lease on your life until you cut that lease. Are you with me? And that is why since we have started with deliverance in our church, I can go from person to person and show you how God has blessed them. Did we pray for financial blessings? No. Did we pray for God to elevate their business and that there will be prosperity in the house? No, we did not even pray for that. But we manifested the kingdom of God. So deliverance came to them. And the moment that deliverance comes on you is the moment that what will follow? First seek the kingdom. First seek your deliverance and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So the moment that you receive your deliverance, the kingdom of God comes in you, and that will help you to become righteous, and the blessings will follow. Are you with me? Luke 9 verse 1 to 2 says, then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over demons. I want you to see this. First, He gave them power and authority over demons and to cure diseases. Okay. Next verse. So now we go there. Next verse. It says, He sent them to preach the kingdom. So first He was speaking, in the first verse He was speaking about deliverance. Now He's first speaking about the kingdom, and then He's speaking about healing. Then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power to over all demons and to cure sickness. So what do you see? Deliverance and healing works together. But what else you see is, then He sent him to preach the kingdom of God. So God sent him to go preach deliverance. Go preach them that God has a better life and a plan for your life. Go and tell them the place where they are at now is not where I want them to be. That there's greater plans that I have for them. And in my kingdom, there's no suffering. In my kingdom, there is prosperity. Are you with me? And that is why we as Christians, sometimes you need to become violent. Imagine the presence of God can be in your room, yet there can be a different kingdom inside of you. The devil was in the kingdom of God, in the manifest presence of God, where he was standing, and he was hearing what God spoke in front of the sons of God about Job. But he was allowed to be there because God allowed him to be there to hear what he wanted to say about Job. What are you allowing in your life? How many of us are married with the presence of God and with the world? Because the presence of God can be tangible. You can shake until you are blue. But if you do not allow the kingdom to dwell inside of you, and that is why you'll be touched, but you'll never get changed. Because you will have to repent and say, God, I do not want this. It is a battle for your soul that's going on at this moment. And that is why the Bible says, imagine, the kingdom of God suffers violent. How can God suffer? The kingdom of God suffers violent, but the violent take it by force. You will have to become violent and say, God, I am tired of the life that I'm living. I am not going to live this way anymore. I'm not going to be a slave of the devil and his kingdom. I want your kingdom to dwell inside of me. Are you with me? So the moment that deliverance comes is the moment that the kingdom of God is manifested. And after that, all the blessings will just come upon your life. We need to seek His kingdom daily. We need to ask God daily, make us more pure. Heal my heart. We have to do introspection and see, God, what is in my heart that is not of you? Sometimes we want the glitz and glamorous and we want all the nice Sunday, and it is awesome. I love that. But if your heart is not right, if God is not the kingdom that's dwelling inside of you, and you still have envy, you still have strife, you still have offense against someone else, even if they were wrong, you're allowing a different kingdom to live inside of you. So you can go every morning, Father, I pray that your kingdom come. Let your will be done. I seek you. He will be there because he's not a man that should lie. You will ask him, God, fill this place with your presence. Let your kingdom come. His kingdom will come, but it will not manifest on you because you're not allowing the kingdom to manifest on you. Because there's another kingdom already dwelling and ruling over your life. You will first have to let that other kingdom go and say, God, now I surrender my life to you. But it's not something that I can do for you. It's not something that Pastor David can do or anyone else. It is something that you will have to do to look in your sight and say, God, I want your kingdom. Because we want the blessing of God, but we do not know what a kingdom is. Every day you have to seek him more and more. And every day when you seek him, small things will come up. And God will say, but listen, remember that person. When you think of them, you have this feeling. And God said, now repent of that. It's not, oh God, you don't know what they have done against me. It is, God, because I want your kingdom, I will do that. Are you with me? And that is why Healing must be a daily thing. Deliverance must be a daily thing. And that is why the Bible speaks about deliverance being the daily bread of the children. It is something that you and I have to do daily. Deliverance is compared to children's bread. Children eat mostly everyday bread. It's staple food that we eat. So you have to do deliverance every day. It is not a once-off thing. You as a Christian will have to take responsibility for your own soul. It is not the responsibility of Pastor Maria or whoever does the deliverance on that day. It is your responsibility to work in your heart. It's your responsibility to do deliverance daily, self-deliverance. Believe me, I was so full of demons before I came to Christ. It is not even funny. I remember many years ago, I think it was almost 20 years ago, I saw myself outside of my body. My face looked like a goat. And no one ever laid hands on me for deliverance. Often now, before I started church, I always ask prophet just to check and scan that there's nothing. But imagine that I was so possessed, yet God set me free in my room. Because I seek His kingdom. Many of us as Christians, we have so many excuses. If I can just spend time with this pastor, if I can just do this, and that is why you make the pastors tired, because you do not want to take responsibility. You have the keys over your own soul. They cannot do anything if you don't allow it. You are the one that has the keys to allow the kingdom of God to come inside of you. Deliverance must be a daily agenda. First, seek His kingdom and His righteousness. We will have to come to Him, humble ourselves. We will have to leave our pride. And sometimes we are in a mess, but we must just know that we are in a mess and be true with God. God doesn't want robots. God wants people that are real with Him. That God, today I'm a mess. I remember there's many times that I don't even want to be at church. Me personally. I am tired. I am weak. It's like someone takes a rasper and they just rasp your body. That is how it feels. You don't want to be there. But you still go, because when you're weak, He is strong. So sometimes we must allow ourselves to be weak, because we as Christians always think we have to be okay. You don't always have to be okay, but you always have to be in the presence of God. Are you with me? John 3 verse 1 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prosper." John prayed that you can prosper, yet these days if you speak about prosperity, blessings or abundance, people think, but listen, this is fake. But John was allowed to pray that you may prosper, but not us. And that is how the devil will blind you, to allow you to have his kingdom of poverty in him. God wants you to prosper you in every way. If you look at anyone else and they have something that you do not have, it is not time to be jealous, but say, "Thank you, God, that I can have that as well. Show me where in my heart I need to be healed. Show me what I need to change in myself to be able to do that. I don't need to go and steal money. I don't need to go and do scams. I just need to change myself." And the moment that I change myself and I let His kingdom come and I do deliverance on myself and I let His righteousness come, is the moment that the things that I see, I will receive. But many of us, we want the quick fix. Let me tip God and He's going to, like a gambling machine, and He's going to bless you back. That's not how it works. We as Christians need to take responsibility for ourselves. It is not your e-group leader, it is not your pastor's job. You are the one that needs to look after your soul. Guard your heart above all things. Doesn't say go to your e-group leader or your pastor and they must guard your heart. No. You need to guard your heart, because you are the one that's standing there and allowing this kingdom to come in or that kingdom to come in. Imagine how sad it must be to know that you worship God and you feel His presence manifest, yet you're not changed inside, because you're allowing other kingdoms to be there. I hope you get that this morning. I hope I'm making it clear to you. But how will you get this? Just as your soul prosper. You need to do inner deliverance. You need to do something inside of you that you can prosper. You will have to forgive. So many of us as Christians, "Oh, I deserve better." You deserve hell. I deserve hell. If we have to see what we deserve, what we have worked for, it is hell. We received everything by the grace of God. We received salvation by Jesus Christ, not because we deserve it, but because He has worked for it. Not because I have worked for it, He has worked for it. And sometimes we, oh, I deserve better. No. You deserve to humble yourself and seek His kingdom and His righteousness and see how all things will work together for you. Are you with me? You are the one that's stopping your finances to come in. No devil in hell can stop God from blessing you. It is only you that can stop it. God is much more bigger than any demon. He is a sovereign God. Are you with me? You are the one that can stop your blessing from coming. And I am the one that can stop the blessing to come from me. That is why it's important not to look at your mom-in-law when you hear this message. You must say, this is for me. Say with me, this message is for me. And that is why the Bible also says, take the beam out of your own eye before you take out the splinter in someone else's eye. The Bible is written for self, that you can read it and you can be changed. We have seen many people in our church, even now, yesterday I saw some people. The husband comes to our church, I said to him, his wife doesn't want to come, his family doesn't want to come. I said, just let God change you and they will see. Yesterday his wife was there from Anglican church. They came, the wife, the two children, they all are so on fire because they see what's happening with their father. Let the change in you speak about the goodness of God. Because many of us, we talk and nothing happens. And that is why people are tired of religion, because it's all talk and talk. It is time that you and I live with the kingdom of God inside of us, that we seek Him daily. Are you with me? What quenches His presence? What quenches His Holy Spirit? What quenches His kingdom that in my life that He does not feel welcome? If you have a king coming to your house, believe me, you would make... If you have a parrot, you'll throw that thing away because you want the atmosphere to be set for that thing. But how many of us are like that? Or a dog that just barks all the time, chunks. You're getting what I'm saying? You'll make the atmosphere good that king mustn't feel, what is this thing making a noise? What noise are you allowing inside of you that God does not even feel welcome? There's a difference. I'm speaking about your soul now. I need you to understand, I'm speaking about your spirit. The moment you get saved, your spirit belongs to God. But your soul, you need to see, you are the one that allows what kingdom that lives in your soul realm. And as your soul prosper, not as your spirit prosper. There's many anointed people that are poor. I can say it again. There's many people that are anointed, yet they are poor because their soul do not prosper. Sometimes we just look after our spirits, but we forget to nurture our soul. Jesus didn't heal people because of His anointing. The Bible says He healed them because of compassion out of His soul. Many of us want to do healing, but you do not look after your soul. You can have all the scriptures in your life, but if you do not allow the kingdom of God to heal and deliver your soul, the kingdom of God will not be able to flow through you. That is why we need to take responsibility for our life. Look at Albertus and that came with me and his wife. What a mess. No, seriously. When they came to church, his wife was sleeping the whole day, crying consistently. My goodness, they were so poor they couldn't even pay attention. He had so much anger, it looked like he wanted to kill everyone and walk through every wall. His business was not doing well. His family was not doing well. His child was becoming angry. His whole family was not doing well. We did deliverance. We allowed the kingdom of God to come in his life. We did not pray for his children. We did not pray for his wife. We did not pray for his business. We allowed the kingdom of God to come in him, to deliver him. The next morning, his child that is full of anger walked to church. I'm like, the kid is worshiping God. Yesterday he was a devil himself. The next day, the kingdom of God is in his child because he took responsibility to allow the kingdom of God to come in him. And now obviously there are eager believers already. His wife is doing very well. Actually, if his wife lands on anyone that has a demon, I can promise you they will manifest. Because the kingdom of God is now in them. Where the kingdom of darkness was hammering them the whole time, making them feel not good enough, putting them in a pit. The moment that the kingdom of God touched their heart, but they needed to be humble. They needed to say, listen, I know I'm a mess. And sometimes we come to church and we didn't want to be real with one another. We want to put a facade up just that I don't, because what if people see I'm struggling with something, then they're maybe not going to make me a leader. No, he's a leader. God takes messes and He makes them people that will give messages. God is in the business of taking the ones that are outcasts, that people say, but listen, this person will not reach anything. And God says, let me elevate this person. Not because of who they are, but because my kingdom is in them. Because they are not full of pride, they're allowing the kingdom to come on them. Imagine His children is saved because He gets the kingdom of God. His children wants to serve God. His son wants to be a pastor one day. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but that is His heart's desire. Because of one family member. Many of you are praying for your children, you're praying for your businesses, and you're waiting, but God, why have you not come through to me? Why have you not seeked His kingdom? We always want to point the finger. But God, why you don't turn that finger and look at yourself and say, God, what is inside of me that is stopping your kingdom from coming? Because I don't know about you, my relationship with God is that when God says something, it is set in stone. There's not, I need to do this, I need to jump with this hula hoops. No. That when God says something, it has to happen. That is the God that I serve. So if He says, if you seek my kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be added onto you. Why do you not have the houses you want? Why do you not have the clothes that you want? And then you take offense if someone else wears something nice. Because that kingdom of God is not in you. You're seeking His presence, but not His kingdom. The kingdom of God is a dirty thing. There's a dirty job you have to do before the kingdom of God can come in you. And that is self-deliverance. We have seen people that come to 201 until they are blue. But after 201, they will, that was rough. No, it is when you walk out of this place, it's not like, it's like, I am finished with you, devil. I do not want your kingdom in me. I want the kingdom of God inside of me, that not just I will be blessed, but everyone around me. And I can tell you, in our church, I can tell you, and I believe here as well, I can show you people one for one where people are getting breakthrough because of deliverance, because the kingdom of God is now dwelling inside of them and not the kingdom of this world, because they're now seeking the kingdom of God and not religion. John 3 verse 1 says, 3 John 1 verse 3. 3 John 1 verse 3. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have no greater joy that my children work and walk with Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So he was happy to hear the testimony of how these people was living like Jesus. When I have to go to your work or speak to your mom-in-law or whoever is around you in traffic, will they say, I see the truth in you? Or will they say, what anger is this? What demon kingdom is in this man? Will people see the truth of Jesus inside of you? Or will they see anger? Will they see greed? Will they see envy? Will they see strife? What kingdom is in you? And it's not to condemn you. It is to make you hungry and prepare your hearts for what God's going to do this conference. I know that God's going to do something great this conference. Something that is far more than what we can imagine or think. Because that is the God that I serve. Nothing is normal. He's a supernatural God. He cannot do normal things. He always does supernatural things. And that is why I call it a miracle. I want to last verse because of time. Matthew 6 verse 5, and all of us know this by heart. There's many people that read the scripture that does not believe in deliverance. Imagine how religion and tradition can blind you. That you read the key that can set you free. That you can read the key that can change your life. Yet you will read it and the devil will twist it, that it becomes a religion and not something that is supernatural. I want us to read this. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. They may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. You get some people that just want to throw a show. They will come to church. They want to bring their flags at the Cape Town. We have those. Luckily, we have security. But they want to do, they want to cause, I understand there's a place for that, but it's not the right place. And they want to dance and they want to look so spiritually. And my first question was, why, if you are so spiritual, why are you not a leader in a church? Where other people are like, wow, this man is gifted. He's anointed. If you are so gifted and anointed, where is your local house? Your gift is not for yourself. It is for the body of Christ. It is for the local house. That is where your gift is for. And it goes on. So don't try to be celebrities, Christian celebrities. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in a secret place will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. But in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Heavenly Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. I hope you start reading the scripture differently now after what I just told you. Your kingdom come, your will be done. But God, this person has done this against me. Why don't we just bring vengeance to him? You are stepping out of the kingdom of God. Vengeance belongs to God. Why do you want to take God's place? That is why the kingdom will not manifest in your life. Allow God to be God and humble yourself. The moment that you start pointing fingers, the moment you become unrighteous. On heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven there is no sickness, there is no poverty, there is no anger, there is no strife. You understand? The kingdom of heaven is different. So we want the things that is in heaven, we want it to come down to earth to our lives. That is what we are praying, is it not? But sometimes we want to seek the kingdom through a man. Through me, through pastors, through prophets, through eager leaders. Where the Bible says, go into your secret place. And the one who sees in secret will bless you openly. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So that means when you are in your room is the moment you need to see for deliverance. The moment that you're in a room is the moment that God must bless you. The moment that you're in a room is the moment that God must heal you of the sickness that you have. Why don't you fight for the sickness that you have against it? Why don't the Bible says the violent take it by force? Why don't you go into your room and make war against the enemy? It's so easy. Let's come to church and someone can pray for me. No responsibility, no laxy-daisy. If it doesn't work, I'm just going to say, God, why did it not work? You are not, why have you forsaken me? And God's like, listen, I told you, go into your inner room. And I who sees in the secret place will bless you openly. Yet you want to say, I'm not doing what I'm doing. No, you're not reading the scriptures. Yes, there is a place where the Bible says, go and lay hands, let the elders anoint you and pray for you, prayer of faith, and you'll be healed. And that is true. But why do we always want to put all the pressure on someone else? Why can't we build our relationship with God that we can have boldness in whom He is? The problem is many of us know about God, but they do not know God. And then verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. That speaks of two things. It speaks of the prosperity that God will give you, and it speaks of the deliverance. Give us this day our daily deliverance. Deliverance is equal to daily bread in the Bible. Are you with me? That is why the Bible says the joy of the Lord comes every morning. But have you seeked Him that morning? Many people, when they go in the morning, are like, oh, today is Blue Monday. Now it's conference, we're going to be late, and then it's tomorrow morning, traffic to work again. Have you seeked the kingdom that morning? Have you made all those excuses that's not part of the kingdom of God? Have you asked God to forgive you of those stuff that His joy can come? Because the moment His joy comes is the moment His strength comes. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But if you do not allow deliverance to come to you and His kingdom to manifest in you daily, you will not have strength. And that is why when people have depression, they don't even want to get out of bed. Because another kingdom is ruling over them. And this is not condemnation for any person that struggles with depression. It is an eye-opener that God has a plan for you. That God wants to set you free. But it's going to take you to have take responsibility, not someone else. And number 12, verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I don't know about you, but if I have to read that whole scripture, it sounds to me like everything's to do with deliverance. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom comes, so other kingdom have to go. Thy will be done, so it's not my will. I need to humble myself. Give us this day our daily bread. So set me free from poverty. Set me free from anything that is not, that's hindering me from going further with you. Anything that's stealing my food, because stealing my strength, because food gives you strength. So God wants to give you daily bread that will give you strength. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You are taking the legal right that the enemy has in you. And you say, listen, I do not want to have that legal right inside of me. At this moment now, I'm saying, God, I renounce the sin that I have inside of me. I want your kingdom to come and live and dwell inside of me. Remove every other kingdom. Are you with me? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The whole prayer is just about the kingdom of God. About deliverance. It's how to get free from deliverance. When we do 201, the first thing is you have to forgive. You have to renounce. And then you have to cast that thing out. Matthew 3 verse 2 says, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For you to receive the kingdom of God, you have to repent. Sometimes you think you have to wear Louis Vuitton or whatever. I love it, but it doesn't mean you need to wear it. Sometimes you think you come to church and you have to look a certain physical way. You have to have the right shoe, the right perfume, the right haircut for you to receive the anointing of God. No, it is to do with your repentance, with the condition of your heart. So this afternoon, I want you to go and, God, what is in me that's not of you? Because I'm not sure about you, but me, I want to see the anointing of God in this place like never before. But when prophet prophesies, or when he gives a word, that heaven itself will be here. But it shall not just be here, but it shall be in us. What does it help? We say, oh, what a nice conference we had. The presence of God was here, and then you're not changed. For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen and amen. Let me see if there's one scripture I still want to give you. I'm over time. I want you to stand to your feet. Just close your hands. Close your eyes and lift up your hands. This morning, God wants... My motive for this morning is to bring a renewing of your mind. That God can heal and set you free from the inside. That when the anointing comes this week, when the glory comes, when angels comes, whenever God comes into this place, in this conference, that you will not be one that miss out on anything, but that your heart condition will be right, that your soul will prosper, and that every area of your life will prosper. That is the motive this morning, that you will do self-deliverance, and then when you seek His kingdom and His righteousness, that all His blessings will come upon you. All those things were added on you. It is no one else's that's stopping you from prospering. It is yourself. The devil do not have power over you. You have been given all the authority and power on this earth. Say with me, Heavenly Father, this morning I surrender my spirit, my soul, and my body to you. Forgive me of allowing the kingdom of this world to be in me. Forgive me of my offense, of my anger, of my pride, of my greed, of my envy, of my strife. Help me to be humble. Help me to be real with you. That when I seek your kingdom, from today, I give Jesus Christ the legal right to remove every other kingdom that is in me. And I myself will take responsibility for my own life. Father, I pray right now for every person on the sound of my voice. I pray that your kingdom will come upon them. I pray that your will shall become upon them. I pray that, Father, that when they seek you, that they will find you. Father, that when they seek your kingdom, that your kingdom shall be manifested in them. And that the moment that they seek your kingdom and your righteousness, I thank you that you are a just and true God, that you will bless them openly, that you will bless them abundantly, that there shall not be room enough to store. I thank you, God, for every testimony that's going to come from this conference. I pray, Father, that you will not miss one person, but Father, I pray that you will heal their hearts and make them receptive to the word of God and for your presence in this conference.